Everybody, welcome to Podcast Insider number 251. And of course, today is National Blueberry Day. So, of course, we got some good stuff going on the blueberry.com page, Mike, for National Blueberry Day.
It looks pretty cool. Aaron made up some a new header image there that's got kind of a different looking logo on it. One problem I'm having about it is putting the E's back in blueberry. I don't know. I'm not used to that.
So I'm looking at the, I was going to look at the homepage, and so it does have a little bit of a graphic at there, but there's no titling on it. So I wonder if people will know it's National Blueberry Day.
Well, I got special album art today for this show too.
Oh, so. You do. All right. Well, outstanding. So everyone, we've got a good lineup of stuff for you today. We have some news, best practice. We've got blueberry news. So our news to beginning with is just industry news, and we got some blueberry news. But today we are adding a new segment to the show. It's called Blueberry Pro Tips, and we're going to have one of these each week. And this is being done by our Blueberry Pro team. So today, Toby's going to be talking to us about why your recording environment is critical. So we'll have that after Blueberry News. We've got an interview with a team member, with Sean Thorpe, one of our customer support reps. And then, of course, we've got a question of the week. So lots going on here. Here's Apple still having some issues with their latest release.
Yeah, they're just it was over at Vulture there, and they're kind of going through some of the stuff that they've had issues with, but they're still having issues with shows taking forever to show up for new episodes to show up, and just a lot of the simple stuff. But if you think about what Apple did over there with 14.5, they pretty much threw away everything they had and started from scratch and built a brand new thing. And, I guess, you would think that they would have tested it, but, they can't test for everything. And, as we're going through all of our new upgrades and whatnot at Blueberry, we're running into things like that as well. So to err is human, I guess, but you would think after, 6 or 8 weeks here, they would have got most of that worked out.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's just one of those deals, though. It's like Mike said, we've been working through a massive amount of UI updates and other goodies, and really you go through the process multiple times, and then you think about, okay, what about this outlier or that, and then you end up having have to go back and fix something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been terrible over at Apple, but for those that are having the issues, it is. It's and of course us at the hosting companies all hear about it, because what did you do to Apple? Or we didn't do anything to Apple. If we could do something to Apple, we would certainly have done it. But
But one thing that's good that they did seem to change as far as show notes goes, now links work in description tag again. Yep. So this matches Spotify and Google. So the advice we gave on last week's show, is that still valid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it still works. That helps with the doubling thing. It doesn't cure it. It just puts, that small description and then the better description, so there's two different things instead of two of the same thing and one poorly formatted. But what's nice about this now is if you don't use the summary block in PowerPress, and you just do what you've been doing all along, it should now work the same. Now, one thing, when I said, description tags, it'll take some of the links, but it doesn't necessarily, take all of the formatting. It does take some of the formatting. It'll do paragraphs. It'll do, simple things like that, but it doesn't do bold text, in the description tag like it does in the other tag. So there are some drawbacks, but I think it's a good thing because now we could probably figure out how to make it all look sort of the same everywhere. And that's something
Mike,
we haven't been able to do.
We're going to have to work on your lighting still in your studio. I'm looking at you and you're like washed out almost.
Ghosted.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think what it is you have probably need a filter on that thing or turn the volume down a little bit. Just a work in progress.
Yeah, I've got to really do something right here with a video, but.
So for Zoom, Zoom, the meeting company, of course, we use Zoom for our phone system as well. They bought an AI company working on real-time translation. So this is curious.
Yeah, that'll be cool if they get that working. You know, imagine having a Zoom call. You know, like I work with a lot of people in Brazil over Zoom, and you know their English is okay, but it'd be a whole lot easier if they could talk in their language. I could talk in mine, and we just heard what we heard. And
if they could speak in Portuguese, and you could read the closed caption.
Yeah, at least that. You know,
that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and. Yeah, so it looks like that may be coming. Hopefully,
I heard someone was on another. Well, they were in a panel for the Middle East, and the panel moderator spoke English, and one of his panel attendees did not. And I'm like, "Well, how did you handle that?" He said, "Well, I kind of understood a little bit what he was saying. It got the implication, but you know, I don't think he really knew completely." So, I guess that's. You know, that's the thing that we're going to all have to have challenges with living this international lifestyle now. So very, very cool. So Audacity 3.0, boy, oh boy, oh boy, there's been a lot of discussion about Audacity 3.0 and how it appears to be spyware, but is it really?
Yeah, who knows? One thing I noticed about Audacity is now, you know, when 3.0 is out released and all that, is if you're going to be a contributor to this open source project, they're making them sign a license agreement, making the developers. And that's something you don't normally do, you know, in an open source project. It's just, you know, you're giving the code to them and it's, you know, implicit, but they want you to sign for that. But yeah, one of the things is they're sending back IP data and, you know, other supposedly non-identifiable stuff, but IP data is identifiable. So I don't
know. Again, you know, a lot of software calls home to mama. Even some podcasting platforms call home to mama and report to advertisers. So we just need to be aware of what we're giving up and what those applications are doing. You know, again, you know, I'm a big fan of Adobe Edition. I know you do have to pay monthly for that. There's also Hindenburg that actually integrates with Blueberry Podcasting. You can publish straight to Blueberry once you're done editing in Hindenburg. So, you know, I think those are some options for you if you're worried about the, you know, where Audacity, and what's happened is Audacity has been bought. It has a new owner that's looking to derive some data from its users for whatever reason. I'm not fully sure, but Audacity 3.0 does have some privacy concerns. Next thing up is a Twitter thread about rates for podcast jobs and how much a professionally produced podcast costs. Now, I think you can look at the Blueberry Pro. Oh my God, did you hear that? They're getting ready to do jackhammering over here.
Oh, isn't that good timing, huh?
Yeah, it was perfect timing. So, that's good. I'm glad you're not. They're putting a pharmacy in next door, Mike, and they're almost ready to open and they're doing their last minute stuff. And yeah, so jackhammering over there, sadly. So going back to this article, this thread popped up, talked about trying to inform the industry how much editing and that type of stuff cost. And what I found curious about the thread was they said a normal day rate for producer and podcasting audio is somewhere over $300 for an entry to mid-level producer. It's higher if you're required to travel and if you're more experienced. And it goes on about these different rates for someone's a tape sync. And do we have those in podcasting? Talks about consulting at $1,000 a day on audio. So to me, this article was interesting. And I don't know if she was disgruntled about people trying to lowball.
Yeah, probably people get sticker shock when she gives a quote for something, and
right.
Maybe that's it. But
and I don't think you know, if you're thinking about an hourly rate, you know, a normal rate for that, you know, it's just, she's thinking $300, a $300 day rate is, what does that equal out to an hour? If you do 8 hours a day, that's like $30 an hour, right?
Yeah, or no more like than that. That. Yeah.
Yeah. Or more than that.
A little bit more.
So, you know, I think that, it's an interesting thread, but I just tell you guys to go back and look at the Blueberry Pro Team. I think those packages that you prepay are pretty, you know, are pretty awesome considering the level of editing you get. Now today, our actual editor's out today. You're good. Mike's going to be the editor today. So you guys will be able to hear the difference between Mike's produced and the Pro Team's produced.
Kate's trained me well, so.
Oh, she has. Well, that's good. So maybe you'll be able to keep us sounding cool and suave here. But, you know, if you're looking for jobs in podcasting, in the podcasting space, this might be a Twitter thread you want to read up on.
Yep.
Definitely. Have you tried this new tool?
Loudness. I found it was pretty cool. It's just a simple little tool. I've thrown it in my list of validator type things, and it's another thing. You have an MP3 on your desktop, and you're ready to upload it. You want to make sure that it's at the right sound level, loudness level. It's just go to loudness.info and click the select file, grab the MP3 off your. It doesn't upload. Well, probably uploads it, but
it does. I'm actually uploading one right now.
Yeah, and it'll tell you what the LUFS rate is. And you want to be somewhere between 15 and 20 probably for podcasts. 16 seems to be the quote-unquote standard.
That was for my latest Geek in the Central show, New Media Show, minus 16.3.
Right, that's right in the ballpark. You know, somewhere around 16 for stereo is what you want. So, but yeah, it's just a simple little tool. So before you upload, make sure you've got the sound at the right level, and that'll help.
They even give you a little chart here. They say that for Spotify, they're saying I'm too quiet for Spotify, perfect for Apple Music, and perfect for Apple Podcasts. They say I'm too quiet for Amazon Music and too quiet for YouTube.
Eh.
So...
Yeah, different ones have different standards. I know, for mono audio, they want it around 20 for.
Really?
Yeah. And then I think, Spotify likes it like 18. But
they actually like negative 14 is where they're.
Oh, is that what it was? 14. Yeah. I knew it was something like that. Yeah. So negative 15.3 on my last show. So,
so I use a tool called Ophonic to do my leveling on my WAV file. So I actually use the desktop version of that. So I think that's an interesting, I guess for a better reason, an interesting thread, at least, or interesting tool. It is kind of cool. Lots of people do a quick check. Loudness.info. All right, so let's move into our best practices. And this one is how to find a co-host. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, we don't think about that because, you know, you and I worked together before, doing this show together, and I've done other shows with you and all that. So we just sort of know each other for various reasons. So that was pretty easy to find a co-host that way. But, you know, if you want to have a show that you're going to have a co-host on, how would you go about finding that person? Most people do it, somebody they already know, So say you're into, underwater basket weaving, and one of the guys in your underwater basket weaving club, that's where you would go. Someone you already know that has the same interest, that kind of thing. Or, I've seen some political shows where, somebody you argue with on Facebook all the time, that's on the opposite side, and let's do a podcast together and argue.
Right.
there's just lots of ways to do it. Some ways not to do it, in my humble opinion. I didn't write that on the list here, but, don't go to a Facebook group about podcasting and ask to get a podcast co-host. A lot of times the groups won't even like that, but go into the group for your niche.
Right.
And, say, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. Anybody interested to, want to do it with me?
And I think, too, there's a whole nother subtopic on this, on if you do a show with a co-host, the rights to the show, the agreement, the money split, all the legal stuff. So You know, if you're the one that's coming up with this idea for the show and you're the one seeking a co-host, you need to have those ideas in your head kind of already laid out on what type of an agreement you're going to have if one party or the other gets fed up with each other. You know, so is, you know, as example, this show is the property of Blueberry Podcasting. So regardless, you know, the faces could change over many years on who's doing the show. Yeah. And that's true. They have, but you know, a professional colleague, you know, that's another one that might be someone you want to talk to. Again, yeah,
like you and Rob, you know, you guys are colleagues in the podcasting, you know, hosting world, and and you know, you work for different companies, but that was a pretty good pairing there, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is what you have to watch out for, and again, not really watch out for, but you know, some ideas on how to find a co-host. And here's another way you can find a co-host. I have found, you know, I started my first show, and I have found people within my show that want to do podcasts, number one. So I've got a guy that does, he's my executive producer for my show, but he also does a show called GNC Insider. He looked for a co-host and it ended up being one of the folks we worked with going to CES. So, you know, it's really kind of how that inner circle, you may actually find your co-host right on your show if you're doing a solo show right now. Right. And want to bring it into where you have a co-host.
Yeah, one of my good friends, he does a show called Airline Pilot Guy, and he did it solo for, you know, a couple hundred episodes, and then he had some regular contributors that would send in audio feedback, and now he's got a crew of like five or six different hosts that sort of you know, go in and out of the show, but he never does it alone anymore, and it's worked out really well for him.
That's nice. All right, moving on here to Blueberry News. Today, of course, I announced at the beginning of the show, it's National Blueberry Day. Blueberry with the E's. Of course, our blueberry is without the E's because we couldn't afford the E's.
Yep.
That's a mouthful. Say that five times really fast.
E's on sale. No.
That's true. So, yeah, I think last time I checked, Mike, the blueberry.com domain was like 2.3 million or something like that. Someone wants
up.
Someone want to gift that to us. That would be fantastic.
Yeah,
but
it'd be awesome.
It'd be great, but we'll have a link in the show notes to this national holiday. Get healthy, get picking, you know, have some blueberries, enjoy it. Think about blueberry podcasting when you're at it.
Or
as well,
not get healthy. Blueberry pancakes are a good choice.
Oh, that sounds good too. So make sure to check out podcastinsider.com. In between shows, we've got articles and news going on there several times a week. So there's stuff being posted. We've got educational content that's being put up. We actually linked to some of that in the newsletter that went out, I believe, yesterday or the day before when you guys got the newsletter. So definitely, you know, come over and check out the articles. We here's the deal. We have experts in the podcasting space that are writing articles to help you grow your show and have good information. Some of it is at a lower level. Some of it's at a higher level. But all this content that we're putting together is for you so that you can create and have a better podcast yourself. Now, one thing I'm going to just kind of talk about is very soon we're going to be bringing on educational content for Blueberry Podcast hosting customers as well. We've got something that'll be privately available to you that's in the works, but we've got the newsletter, we've got the blog, we've got the show. So make sure you use that resource over there. Am I missing, of course, stuff that's going out on Twitter and Facebook, and we post stuff all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You want to follow us on social media. In most places, it's at Blueberry, spelled without the E's. And in Instagram, I guess we couldn't get just Blueberry, so we got Blueberry_podcasting.
Yeah.
But, you know, lots of stuff going on over there with Chow, and she's posting some cool stuff, and Kathy and Mackenzie. So, but yeah, lots of stuff going on that way. We didn't have any articles this week just because of the short week. So the last one on there, I think, is our last week's episode. So,
all right. So Podcast Movement is less than a month away. I don't think I've got a promo code for them.
I'm not sure either.
If you want to attend, definitely go over to the Podcast Movement website. This is going to be a great event. As a podcaster, you're gonna drink from the fire hose for 3 or 4 days. It's well worth it. I'm going to be down there all week. I'm going to be meeting. If you're actually going to Podcast Movement and want to meet up, let me know. Of course, we'll have a booth on the floor. Guaranteed prizes, too, to anyone that comes to the booth. We got a great promotion we've got planned with some good swag.
Yeah,
some really good swag. One of those, I don't have the coffee cup laying here, but we got a cool coffee cup.
Over your shoulder there, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, there's one. For those of you that are online watching, we've got this cool blueberry coffee cup that basically is kind of a pun on, what happens when you forget to hit record, which all of us have done once or twice.
Speaking of which, we need to start over. I'm kidding.
Oh my God. I was going to say, I don't want to hurt you. I've got it recorded in here, so I got us covered.
Okay.
So, come out to Podcast Movement Nashville and join the fun and education. It's going to be a great week. It's really our first time to see all of you. It's been, 2 years. So we've been back in the saddle, but so I'm excited. Mike, your PopRest webinar has been going good.
Yeah. And I just put the link here for, in the show notes for the replay. And the next one's going to be on July 20th at 3:30 Eastern. And there's a sign-up link on the show notes as well. So in this one, we've changed it up just a little bit. It's now called the Podcasting with WordPress and PowerPress.
Oh, okay.
So
awesome.
We're going to cover a little bit more of the general stuff that goes with WordPress, as well as setting up the PowerPress plugin.
And again, the newsletter went out yesterday. If you did not get the newsletter, first of all, look in spam for it. Yeah. Number two, if you really didn't get it, we want you to sign up for it. So we're going to make it easy for you to do that here shortly via blueberry.com. But again, the newsletter went out. We hope that you read it, got some information out of it. Let's go ahead and move. We're going to go ahead and kick this over to Toby and let him talk about why your recording environment is critical. This is, let me just preface this a little bit. These, Toby and Kate and the team, are true audio recording professionals. They've got the big fancy auto recording studios, all the fancy gear, the plugins, everything that, really someone that is an editor, an audio producer should have, they have. And I think you'll hear Toby's voice. And I think as it comes across, you're going to see, what true quality audio produced at the highest level sounds like, as well as tips from their team. So definitely check this out. Again, why your recording environment is critical. And Toby's going to spend a couple minutes with you, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Pro Tips for Podcasting Business Owners. I'm Toby from Blueberry Pro Production. This week, sound. Chances are you're the kind of podcaster who has thought about getting a good sound. You may have even taken part in the SM7 versus RE20 debate, but here's something that gets less airtime and column inches because, frankly, it doesn't create revenue for the equipment manufacturers. Your recording environment, the room you record in, is just, if not more, important than the gear you use. Silence really is golden. With over 100 million views on his TED Talks, our friend Julian Treasure is the global authority on all things sound, speaking and listening. And he observed that most of the sound around us we experience on a day-to-day basis is simply unintentional noise that's been created by the traffic, devices, and the machines around us. The truth is, any sound that is picked up on your microphone other than your voice will likely detract from the message you are sending out, and it will dilute its impact. One of the competitive advantages you have as a podcaster in business is that by removing the visual element of media and connecting with listeners, create intimacy and connection no other media can get close to. So today's pro tip, notice your sound environment, turn off active devices, and even if you don't have a purpose-built studio, ensure you're surrounded by soft furnishings, and that will really help get your message across. And by the way, Julian Treasure has a new podcast hosted on Blueberry called Sound Business. So do check that out too.
That was awesome. Awesome job by Toby. We want to thank him for putting that tip together for us this week. And of course, next up, we've got an interview with Sean Thorpe. Sean is with our support team. Mike, this is part of your Meet the Team series, right?
Yep. So we're doing the Meet the Team. And of course, you guys have all met Sean before, and he's done segments on here, and he's even co-hosted. But, you know, we sat down and, we talked about his origin, how he got into podcasting and how he ended up working with us. So it's an interesting little story there.
So for those of you that are listening to the podcast, we'll kick to Sean's interview.
Hey, Sean, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on Meet the Team Member.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me back. It's always good to be on Podcast Insider.
Yeah, well, we'll get you on to co-host again, I'm sure, when travel season all starts up. We'll have to have some pinch hitters for Todd or whoever. So yeah. Very good. So Sean, you've been with us, what now? Let me guess, 4 or 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, actually it's a little bit longer. It's been six, not quite 6 and a half.
Okay. Close. So, time flies when you're having fun, right?
And we do have a lot of fun at Blueberry. That's for sure.
Yeah. If nothing else, just snacky or boy, that was terrible. Snarky Slack conversations, of course, and Zoom calls and whatnot. So, Sean, you've been podcasting as long as I have, maybe even a little longer. How'd you get into podcasting?
Well, I first learned about it in late 2004 and started just listening to shows. And found that it was something I was really interested in. I had a background in audio and radio and music and stuff. So I kind of had a fundamental understanding of how most of it worked. And then in late January of 2005, I published my first podcast episode of a show that is long gone. And ever since then, I've just kind of stuck around. I've done a number of podcasts that have mostly gone away. In 2014, when Todd relaunched the Podcaster News site, I was one of the, I guess you might say, original contributors. From there, I mean, I obviously being in podcasting, and I knew Todd. I think I knew Todd more than he knew me. But I, he saw that I knew kind of podcasting stuff, and through working on the Podcaster News site, I think, and when I found out that Blueberry was looking for some support help, I was in a place where I was looking for work. So I reached out to him. And like we said earlier, it's been almost 6.5 years later and I'm still here.
Yeah, very good. And you were the second support member hired. So I got the, it's funny how with this company is, for a long time, we were just really, really, really small. And it's, kind of evolved, with Angelo was doing support and dev, and he was the only developer and doing right. support. So, plus Todd was trying to do support. And that's where I came in. And then it wasn't that long after, 4 or 5 years I was there. And then you got here. And then we've had a couple other people in support. And, of course, now we have Dave as well. And it's been great, but you've been slow and steady all along. That's great. That's what we want. Stability, and you definitely know what you're talking about. And sometimes you have to correct me. I love it. A lot of people have to correct me, so that's not too abnormal. So you've been podcasting a little longer than I have officially. My first episode was, I think, was in April of 05. So you've been at it, and you know, most of my shows, you know, I've started, stopped, you know, but I've had a few that I've kept all along. So that's kind of how it goes. But a lot of the team here at Blueberry back then was we're all podcasters. And, you know, even some of the founders of Blueberry have kind of dropped out of podcasting as far as doing their own shows. That's understandable. But, you know, trying to sustain a show is a lot of work. And you know, so it's I don't know how to put it. It's you kind of lose your mojo once in a while.
Sure. Well, it definitely has to be even still. And certainly very much so back in the earlier days of the medium was very much a labor of love because, I mean, back in 2005, you know, we were all sitting around, you know, going, well, what's going to happen with this? Right. Is anybody going to care about it a year from now? Is there ever going to be any viable way to monetize, you know, will there ever be any industry? I mean, we didn't know. I mean, Mike, if, you know, you and I started podcasting before even Apple was in the game.
Right, exactly.
So it's so weird now to think about what it was like back then, because even though there was this kind of critical mass that was building, but it was very it was very slow and it was very decentralized. So Apple kind of gave us the first focal point as far as, hey, there's this one recognizable place that you can listen to podcasts. And, you know, but it was still, even after that, it was still a very slow growing kind of thing. You know, I feel like it wasn't until probably 2011, 2012 when it started to feel like, you know, there's kind of a momentum here that's starting to build beyond just those of us who were enthusiastic hobbyists / semi-professional with a scattering of a few people we could really describe as truly professional podcasters in terms of making a living. I remember thinking to myself, you know, back in like 2008, 2009, that I bet you could have gotten everybody who could truly say that they made a living as a podcaster in one room.
Oh, easy.
And easy. Yeah. And it felt, you know, I could start to feel the change around, you know, 2012, 2013, but even then it was still a slow thing. So it's been just fascinating for me being around since the very beginning. And I'm, you know, glad that I had that experience when it really was just very experimental and nobody knew what the future was going to bring. You know, like a lot of us who've been around that long, sometimes I miss it, but it's never going to go back.
Yeah. And, you know, do we really want it to, you know, I remember, you know, hand rolling RSS feeds, you know, opening up Notepad on my, Windows laptop and trying to, you know, put all the commas and periods and brackets and this and that's all in the right place. And, you know, you get one little thing wrong and it goes sideways. Now we've got the tools that, you know, like these Rodecaster Pros for recording. I mean, you got one, I've got one. They're awesome pieces of equipment. If this existed when I first started, I wouldn't know anything about how to record a podcast because I don't have to. You know, I just set some levels and hit record and it happens. And, you know, back in the day, it was a lot harder. And, you know, I guess, you know, I know this is a get to know me about you, but, you know, a lot of what, you know, what we, what why we're involved with Blueberry has a lot to do with, you know, the beginnings of podcasting, because, you know, Blueberry grew up right with the rest of the industry. And, you know, it's morphed a couple of times into, you know, completely different businesses. And, you know, same thing with, you know, me and you and, you know, everybody that was around at the beginning, we've kind of morphed into different things if we've stuck with it. A lot of, you know, a lot of the OG podcasters just don't exist anymore, at least on podcasting, you know, and then some of us, you know, some of us stuck around. I don't know. Is there something wrong with us?
Anyway. Well, and I think it does get back to that original kind of labor of love thing, or, you know, it's like anything that people get into, you know, some things just, it's like they get under your skin, and yes, you might take extended breaks from them, but you always kind of come back. And for me, podcasting is one of those things, you know, if everything else had stayed the same as far as, I don't know, maybe I never came to work for Blueberry or whatever. I mean, I'd still be doing this at some level. You know, I am still producing a show. I'm not the show host, but I am still involved, you know, in that side of podcasting as well as what I do here. So it's just, you know, and it's, I'm sure if you talk to people that did any number of vocations, avocations, hobbies, you know, a lot of them would say, yeah, there were times when I just wasn't that into it, but I always came back to it. And for me and for you and for some other people, you know, that's what podcasting is.
Right, right. So, you know,
not for everybody.
Right. You know, we look at it probably a little differently than the person that's just coming into it today. Sure. For sure. You know, and, you know, you and I deal with that all the time in support. You know, the people just, you know, they don't. It used to be all the podcasters were geeks, and now most of them aren't. And that's okay. Well, you know, that's great. But and that's why we keep evolving the tools and mm-hmm. You know, we also, you know, evolve and support, you know, what you know, now we've got phone support and we do Zoom calls with people and do, you know, email support and, you know, some, you know, it's used to be, you know, a short email to a geek, you could use all the same terminology. And now even the terminology isn't the same as it once was, you know, or
that's true. I mean, it's an ever evolving medium, and so is everything that kind of spirals outward from that, including the technology, you know, the hardware, the software, and then that has an impact on the terminology we use. A recent example being, you no longer subscribe in Apple Podcasts, you follow.
Yeah, we've kind of in the show, but beaten that down a little bit when, you know, the big change that Apple came up with, they fundamentally changed how their app interacts with podcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, podcasts haven't changed, just Apple has changed how they do it. And, you know, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, there's probably pros and cons on both sides. You know, for them, it's probably a better thing because they have more control over it. For the podcaster, it's a bad thing because they have more control over it, you know, right. And it's just one of those things. And, you know, you've got to adapt and, you know, figure it out and press on, you know, but, you know, the important part is the people, you know, the hosts, the contents, you know, all that. But back to you there, Sean. So you've got the distinction of being the one furthest west now at Blueberry, right, since Todd moved from Hawaii. And so you're out in California. Am I right to say that's considered the Central Coast?
Yes, I am in the Central Coast part of the state. So I'm almost midway between the Bay Area and Los Angeles. So it's about, you know, a 2 or 3 hour drive, give or take, from
either one.
One of those points or the other from here.
Right. And I've been to both of those points, and I've never been to the Central Coast. So one of these years I'll have to get out there and check it out.
Yeah. It's a place that, you know, when most people think about California, this isn't generally what comes to mind first. And, you know, I live in a town that's, I don't know, population 50,000 people, but the area in general, kind of the big attraction here is the wine industry is very big. So there's a lot of vineyards and tasting rooms. So people that are into that come out here, and, you know, it's a different vibe. If you want to kind of have a West Coast experience, but you don't necessarily want to be in one of the large metros, you can come out here and, you know, we still have everything. It's not like we're out in the boonies or something.
Yeah, so I know about the boonies.
Yes, yes. So, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, very good. And so you're out there in California. You're originally from Chicago, I know. Wrong end of the lake from where I'm at.
Right. Yeah. Other side. From where you are. Yeah, I lived the first 29 years of my life in the Chicagoland area, and about 16 years ago now, my spouse and I decided we were done with the winters. So we packed it up and moved out here, and we've been here ever since.
Yep. Very good. Very good. And so again, you've been working with Blueberry 6-7 years, 6.5, you said. So
yeah,
it makes sense. Well, you know, and really time does fly. 'Cause I remember you coming on, obviously, since we worked together, but sure. You know, my sense of time has just gone away when it comes to that. You know, somebody that's been here a year, that feels like they've been here forever. And, you know, somebody that's been here forever, you know, sometimes I don't even know they still exist, you know, but it's just how it works. And, you know, and we're still a pretty small company, but, you know, again, we started out with, you know, the original five founders, and then I came on, and Kathy and a few other, you know, part-timers, and you know, we've evolved over the years. Some of us went full-time and whatnot, and like I said, it's been a fun ride for sure. And like I said, I wanted to get in here and get everybody on the team that wanted to on the show. Some are more talkative than others, I've noticed, and I'm sure the listener has noticed that as well. But, you know, again, it's the way it is. You know, a lot of the developers like being behind the scenes, and, you know, they're really not, you know, out front, you know, where those of us that have been podcasting, you know, we're kind of more public in general. So that's kind of how it works. And,
well, you know, it's a personality thing at some level, but then it's also just, I don't know, it's just kind of different people are different.
Yeah. So. Truth be told, I'm an introvert, but this is my outlet.
Exactly. So am I. Yet all of my life I've been drawn toward doing things that had some kind of public performative aspect, and that includes podcasting. So, you know, if I have to walk into a room full of strangers, you know, I'm like hiding in the shadows, you know? but you put me in front of a microphone and I'll talk your ear off all day.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody's different, and that's cool. You know, speaking of, my time at the company, I was just thinking about this and in terms of, I guess, marking the passage of time. When I joined the team, the company didn't yet have Slack. We were still managing everything over a group email list, which if I think about that now is really kind of makes me want to cringe, but it wasn't long. I would say it was no more than a month because that was really around the time 2016 that Slack was getting its first big momentum. And it was like, all of a sudden everybody, you know, especially a team like ours where we're distributed and everybody's in different places, it's like, oh, everybody's got to be on Slack. So,
yeah, it's been, you know, Slack has been great, but again, you know, that can also be a time suck. So,
yeah,
depends.
Yeah.
But yeah, it certainly has helped with a company like ours, you know, where we just have the one central office with, not even a quarter of the team at the office, and the rest of, you know, the rest of us are scattered about the country. And it's, you know, in one way it's awesome. You know, I was just thinking the other day how cool it is. I can live in the woods in northern Michigan and still be involved with a company that's essentially based in Ohio, but, you know, we're all over the place. It's, it's just it's a neat thing. And, you know, and I know with the whole COVID thing and, you know, everybody, a lot more people are working from home than they used to be. But, I've been doing this since, 2015, full time. And it's just crazy. You know, it's just to think about, you know, how much different life is when you don't have to commute somewhere.
Yeah. And this kind of ties in nicely to the whole introvert / extrovert thing, because for me, you know, I've been fortunate in that even before I worked for Blueberry, I was working from home. I got convinced my employer at the time to let me work from home in, I want to say it was maybe late 2007. And to give you an idea of how things have changed, even with that, you know, I had to do the whole outlay myself. I had to buy a dedicated computer. I had to get a special kind of phone. Like, I had to buy all that myself. I had to set it up. I had to do all the software set up myself. And, you know, I proved to them that I understood the technology and I could do it all. So that helped. But, you know, now all this stuff just works.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, cause I needed a separate computer then specifically just to do that job. But now it's like, you know, we're talking on Zoom right now, and, you know, Zoom almost works. I'm not going to say flawlessly, but it works pretty well most of the time.
Yeah, so far, so good anyway.
outside of that, you know, most of the work we do can be done within a web browser. And it's, you know, we're so much more, as just a world, we're so much more better designed for people to work remote. And that does include things like Slack. So, it's good that we have all of these tools available.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, well, anyway, let's cut this off, and I'm sure you and I will talk for a while afterwards, as we normally do. But yeah. Thanks for being on, Sean. Is anything we need to cover that we didn't cover?
I don't think so, but if you'll allow me, I would like to plug the show that I'm currently producing.
Yeah, go for it.
It's not at all related to Blueberry, and not at all directly anyway related to podcasting, other than the fact that it is a podcast. But I'm doing the production side of a show called Shattered Soulstone. That'll make sense to you if you're a fan of the Diablo video game franchise. My spouse is the wife. What did I just say? My spouse is the host. Thank you.
Yes.
It's one of those days.
That's where our Blueberry Pro team will come in and make us sound smart.
Good. Good. And occasionally I'm on there, but most of the time I'm behind the scenes. And you can find it at shatteredsoulstone.com or in most of the popular podcasty places.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I didn't know Jen was doing that. Awesome. Have to check it out.
Yeah, this show's actually been around a while. She was one of the original co-hosts. They started out with three co-hosts, and over the years, it's had a lot of people come in and out of the show, but right now she's kind of doing it on her own, and I'm helping out with the technical stuff.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And I know I on this show, I feature a lot of Jen's articles on the original Podcaster News site.
Right.
So she's kind of the main writer over there these days. So one of these days I'll have to get her on here. Geez, why not?
Yeah, why not? Indeed. She's been in podcasting virtually as long as I have. I had her, she kind of joined me starting about 2 weeks after I started back in 2005. So, while her journey has, veered from mine in places, she's still had lots of experience.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, and we'll get this out, whenever. I don't know when I'm going to put these in the show, but, pretty soon, I guess. So
it's evergreen content, Mike.
That's the whole point. So, all right. Well, thanks again, and we'll catch you later.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. That was a great interview. I want to wrap this up, Mike, with our question of the week. And some of you that are live might be going, where was the interview? Well, we don't play those segments during the live show. That's why you have to subscribe to the podcast to go get it.
Yeah, we so, Mike, what is?
Yeah, we draw up it in. What is your question of the week here, Mike?
It says, I want to do simple editing of my podcast recordings. Nothing too deep, but I want to be able to clip the ends, add an intro, do the basic stuff. What do you suggest for editing audio? This was from Facebook. And, of course, we already talked about Audacity, but that is still a choice. There's a couple of free ways. If you're using a Mac, GarageBand comes with it. It's a good enough for, you know, simple editing and, you know, producing the MP3s. But you have to have a way to generate your MP3s anyway. But yeah, those two are you know, kind of the free ones, both Todd. Well,
So GarageBand and Audacity are the two free ones. Yeah.
GarageBand and Audacity. And I think there's another one I just heard about too. Maybe if I find it, I'll throw it in the show notes. But that's kind of a replacement for Audacity. But a lot of these, you know, there's a learning curve to them. So, you know, what I've done and what you've done, and I believe the pro team also uses Adobe Audition for the final edits. And
yep.
And all that, you know, yeah, it costs a little bit. I think it's up to like $20 a month or something like that. But this is top-notch professional software, and once you learn it, it's pretty awesome.
I think you get a little bit of a discount if you pay annually. I might be wrong, but the thing I like about Audition is it's really no more complicated than editing in a Word document or something. Cut, paste, insert, all those terms are, you know, cut. You know, those are relatively simple terms for people to learn.
Yeah, and it'll do multi-track like today when I edit this show. I'm going to have, you know, drop in the music, drop in the interviews and Toby's thing. And I'll be able to do that in multi-track, but you don't have to do that. You could just bring it up. You know, think of it like Photoshop for audio. I mean, it's kind of your Word. You know, you just kind of.
I rarely edit in multi-track. I have everything single track, and I just splice it in and do whatever I need if I have to do any editing. You know, typically I just cut the ends and I'm done. But that's me too. when I do my personal show. There's others too, Sean, who you just heard from and meet the team. He uses Reaper.
Yeah, that's a fairly inexpensive one. I don't think it's free, but it's fairly inexpensive and pretty powerful.
Yeah, for absolutely. Sure.
And it's every once in a while you'll catch Hindenburg on sale too. And you know, I think I got Hindenburg for they had some weird promotion where it was like $1. You know, and that's usually pretty expensive software. So watch for those kind of deals sometimes too.
So if you have a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to mike@blueberry.com, audio, text, or even video. Of course, we pick stuff up like we did this one on Facebook, and we may use it on the show. Of course, the best place for support with any Blueberry product or services or ticket system at blueberry.com/support. Sending that ticket gives the whole team access to questions rather than direct emails or direct phone calls. We will do a phone call with you if we have to, but let's start off and start the ball rolling with the email chain, because 99% of the time we can send you the answer and or a link to an example of something that shows you how to fix a problem you may be having. But
yeah, there's many things that we've heard of about everything, so you know, a lot of times we'll already have some some sort of canned response for you that'll make it just go that much quicker. But, yep. You know, we're here.
So, Mike, what you got planned on the podcast help desk, which is the companion show, which goes super nerdy, geeky and techy aside of podcasting. What's
and
next?
Sometimes it's a soapbox. This week, I just noticed that in the industry, and, you know, I'm an indie podcaster, at heart. And it seems like, you know, all the podcast news sites and newsletters and, all the different things that all they talk about is ad revenue and more ways to track you and more ways to ad tech and all that stuff. And, you know, what is that doing to the indie podcaster? I mean, what happened to, you know, what happens to the guy or gal that just wants to do it for fun or for some other reason than to make money? So I'm going to talk about that a little bit.
All right. So if you guys want to check out the podcast help desk, it's at podcasthelpdesk.com. Go ahead and go over there, follow or subscribe to the show. And I'm sure Mike will appreciate it. We do too, yep. As Mike does a deeper dive. Of course, again, blessed place to reach out to the team is on the support page, or if you want to be on this show and have your comments heard, you can send the email to Mike, Todd, or Mackenzie at Blueberry, BlueBrry.com. And let us know your comment or your suggestion or say, hey, I'd like to be on your podcast. Fill that audio segment. Of course, the most important thing here is if you're not a Blueberry customer already, you can use the promo code INSIDER for a free month at Blueberry.com. And did I miss anything, Mike?
No, I think we got it covered.
All right.
Say thanks to the Blueberry production team. Just, even though I'm doing it this week, I'm doing it with their guidance. So, it's a good thing.
So I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, if you loved that pro tip, let us know. We got more of those coming. They've got actually written out a whole calendar. And this is, that's worth a consulting call. That 2-minute section that Toby put in there today is expert professional advice that comes from a true pro audio master and help you get your show sounding better and allow you to grow a little bit more than maybe you are now. So anyway,
it is ironic. He talks about pets and whatnot. And if you're watching the video over my shoulder here,
your dog came in, but he didn't bark. He was quiet.
He was quiet. So
he just came in and laid down and was a good boy. So, yep. All right, everyone, we want to thank you for being here. And we'll be back again for Podcast Insider sometime around 11 a.m. Every Thursday, we do this, try to do this live. If you ever want to watch us live for whatever reason, it is on replay on our Blueberry podcasting groups in various different areas. On Facebook and Twitter and so forth. So go check it out there. You can get a little early, but we want you to listen to the show because those two segments add a considerable amount of content to what we've just. So everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time here on the Podcast Insider.